It was a story of the rise of the big three, the fall of the big three, and perhaps the rise again. Profits fell throughout the Great Recession. Chrysler and GM were saved from absolute ruin only by the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, their bailout. But the American car industry started suffering long before the recession began, and perhaps are they now coming out? Bob Lutz was the vice chairman of General Motors from 2001 to 2010. And Bob Lutz joins us now. The title of your book is Car Guys versus Bean Counters, The Battle for the Soul of American Business. So you set it up to be a kind of a war between these two groups. But if it is a war, what do you make of CEOs like Ford's Alan Mulally? He is definitely not a car guy.
The CEO or the senior leadership don't necessarily have to be car guys in the sense of being passionate about automobiles or knowledgeable about automobiles. They just have to pursue product excellence and see the goal of the business as producing superior products or services, as opposed to being purely run by financial goals and running everything by spreadsheets and kind of taking the product or service for granted. And what we've had in American business for about the last 30 years is a business school culture that almost disdains product excellence.
You know, there's also a sense in your book of this sort of tension between the white collar and the blue collar, and that there's in many businesses a sort of disdain for the advice or the insights of the people who make their product.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's breaking down. I mean, that was much worse 30 or 40 years ago, where input from hourly people was discouraged, and the guys with the suits rarely ever went in the plant.
I should mention that you're wearing a suit.
Yeah. And but nowadays, I'd say the communication upward and downward in the company, that has gotten much better, and there are mechanisms to permit, in fact, encourage hourly people.
Well, you know, let me ask you, you know, you've always been involved in the design of cars. I mean, there's nobody could look at your car collection, or for that matter, your airplanes either, and not realize that you love a beautiful machine, and that what you've emphasized always is great design.
Yeah.
So please explain to me how we get things like the Aztec.
Well, that was before my time, but that was precisely this numerate approach to the automobile business, where it was highly rational people with very little aesthetic sense planning products for other highly rational people. And the cars were defined numerically in terms of their length and width and interior dimensions. And then when the product planners got all done, they would hand the specification off to design and say, here, can you guys wrap this for us now? Well, that's backwards. It has to start with a beautiful design, and it's the number one attraction point is how does that car look?
And is it going to break down?
Well, but that's assumed. I mean, that's the price of entry. And nowadays, I always say I would challenge anybody to buy an unreliable car. It just doesn't matter what you buy. Everything.
Can I go to Europe?
Yeah, you could probably find one or two there. but by and large, you know, everything is high quality now. So the discriminator now is how does it look and do I love it or not? And that just wasn't understood.
Well, let me ask you, first of all, about the shifts in the auto business. I mean, many people would say that the best example of a fully functional bean counter would be Alan Mulally of Ford. And I think there's going to be a lot of investigation into what Ford did to turn around so quickly. Do you think that the three auto companies have three different strategies, or are we looking at a change, overall change in the auto business?
I think we're looking at an overall change. And I think everybody has gotten the message that in order to be competitive against the Japanese and the Germans, we're going to have to out-product them. And for a while, there was a major effort in the United States and all three companies on the truck side. That's why whether it's Dodge, Chevrolet, GMC, or Ford, American pickup trucks and full-size sport utilities are the best in the world. But what happened is we neglected cars, and that's coming back. I think Alan Mulally did a brilliant job. He did all the right things. He globalized the company. He got rid of a lot of waste.
Reduced a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, it got rid of a lot of waste. But the exact same thing is the same turnaround is occurring at Chrysler. And, of course, GM has tremendous momentum right now.
For the reverses for Toyota, is that, I mean, is the auto industry so interwebbed at this point that reverses for any company hurt another member of the community? Or is this an opportunity for the United States to maybe gain back some of its market share?
Yeah, it's an opportunity for the Detroit 3 to gain back market share, which they are doing anyway. And an interesting factoid, number one selling midsize car in the U.S. today is no longer the Camry, it's the Chevy Malibu. Number one selling compact is no longer the Corolla or the Honda Civic. It's the Chevrolet Cruze. So American passenger cars are really making a tremendous comeback.
Yeah, well, the new book is called Car Guys versus Bean Counters, The Battle for the Soul of American Business. No bigger car guy than Bob Lutz, that's for sure. Bob, thank you so much for coming in.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.